Can't hear you, Ash.
Whoops. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Colorado Show.
Welcome to the Colorado Show. Put your hands together.
I thought you were going to give me the burm, 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 burm.
You do that too.
Sad face. All right, starting off strong. This week, we've got some really interesting news. I'm pretty excited about it. We're going to talk about the Trans for Palestine professor that just resigned. We saw her last week, or sorry, we saw them last week in the not intended. I really am trying, with the protest out at the CU Regents house. The rooster hair.
Rufio.
Yeah. Rufio. 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 resigned from DU this week, issued a statement, did a press conference where you know, you issue a press release, we're going to cover it. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the burgeoning Colorado movie industry and some changes that have happened there. We're going to talk about population and how people are fleeing the state of Colorado, and it's a real head scratcher as to why. And then we're going to spotlight the CD4 race. This is the race to become my Congress man or woman, or yeah, Womixon.
Womixon.
Remember when they put the X instead of?
I'm not in the cool club. Remember
when they did instead of Latino or Latina, it was Latinx, which I think you're supposed to say Latinx, but it's spelled Latinx.
Hold on. I am so confused right now. Where you? What the heck is going on?
We all are, Darren.
What is that?
Latinx.
Latinx.
Well, so in the Spanish language, like the French language and other Romance languages, Italian, the verbs are conjugated based on the gender. So, you know, if you are a male, you're Latino. And if you're a female, you're Latina. And if you are non-binary or do not identify as Latino or Latina, you're Latinx, or as it's phonetically pronounced, Latinx.
The fact that you know all of this.
Oh, I have been fully trained on equity. I spent 20 years in corporate America. I know all the class. I've taken all the classes. I really do try with the pronouns. If there's somebody that it's offensive to them and hard for them and they're trying, I will try to use their pronouns. Sometimes when they're neo pronouns, it gets weird because the English language wasn't, you know, designed with this in mind, but we'll try. When you get militant about it and think that it should be a hate crime and that people should be in prison for not using your pronouns, then you lose my sympathy entirely.
Well, when you start putting like red handprints on like American monuments, you kind of lost me with all that.
You did it at the White House yesterday. I didn't pull this up. I thought
they were all surrounded. I think they had it all surrounded. And like,
sure, looked like an insurrection to me, man. You had the Capitol Police and the Secret Service backing off.
Yeah, so, man.
White House. It was trending yesterday, but I don't think it's trending.
You can't. You have to. You, if you hate America, you work for them.
Pretty much. Let's see.
The right side of history.
Sure.
We believe in freedom to protest. Who's gonna clean all that up? That's the question.
That is the question. All right, here we go.
How do they clean that up?
So this is in front of the White House yesterday, and there's, let's see if I can find the one.
So they didn't exactly get to the front door of the White House, right?
I will say that the jihadists in the CU Regent protest had better chance.
I'm saying, those were jamming. Whoever wrote
I had
those.
I had some of those in my head all day last Sunday.
How close did they get to the White House?
They're right outside the White House lawn. I don't think that they got in the gates, but they're surrounding the White House.
You know
House.
What that proves? Hold on. I asked that question for a reason. You know what that proves?
Okay. Walls do work.
Facts. Yeah. That's your I don't know how exactly, but I'm pretty sure you were just racist.
Give it up for Walls, everybody.
You're now assaulting a cop, throwing stuff at a cop. And you can see the monument. Mostly peaceful property destruction. Apologies for the language to the audience. They're really lovely.
They seem like very kind-hearted people. Just kind of like,
yeah, you know. That looked super insurrection-y to me.
Insurrection-y.
Yeah, it does. It does. So now that we're now that we're just in it, we watched the CU Regent protests last week. You guys will remember this protester. This is Z Williams. An adjunct, go ahead.
That's Rufio. Rufio.
All right, so.
Rufio.
All right, so. E. Williams, former adjunct professor at the University of Denver at the Global School of Social Work, I believe it's called.
The what?
The Global School. I think it's global. Let's see. It's in her statement. Graduate School of Social Work. My bad. Oh yeah, we're gonna get into it. They had a press conference. Videoed the resignation, and I think it's important because
I'm done. Show's over.
I really am trying because they were at the protest calling for intifada, calling for, you know, destruction of Israel from the river to the sea last week at in Boulder outside of someone's home. Elliot was on with us, and Elliot says that he has seen them frequently at protests and, you know, common fixture in the Free Palestine movement. This is their Twitter profile.
Oh my God.
Z trans for Palestine, they them rainbow warlord, all eyes on Rafa.
We're not the warlord.
Rainbow. So
not the
I mean
warlord.
Rainbow communism, rainbow fascism. It's what, you know, I've called it for a while. They're leaning in now. Wow. Rainbow warlord. All right, you want to watch they resign?
Yeah, sure. Rufio's leaving the Lost Boys, huh?
This school is incompatible with the work that I teach. It's like, how can you teach students a class called Power, Privilege, and Oppression and tell them to be critical members of the world and then also not only support the genocide in Palestine, but retaliate tremendously against anyone who has chosen to fight it. So, yeah, we're about to walk in these doors and do the thing. The dean said that they wouldn't meet me, so we're just going to leave it at the desk.
Shout out to at the Stu Studio for this clip.
The dean said that they would not meet me, so we're just going to leave it at the desk.
Yeah. Wow.
Hello. Hey, I'm all right. I'm actually resigning from DU.
Okay, gotcha.
And Lisa has chosen to not meet with me. But this is my letter of resignation, if you want to hand it to her.
Okay, yeah.
When you see her.
Okay, yeah, sounds good.
All right, it was a pleasure having you as a student.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, you too.
Take care.
All right.
That was pretty simple.
So brave.
I
I love you all very much.
What did you
say? We're gonna chant here in a second. Get excited for it.
Hold on. Don't even do it. I got you ready.
Free Palestine!
Free Palestine!
Free Palestine!
Free Palestine!
Free Palestine!
Hold on, pause.
Within our lifetime.
Pause it. Go back to the
moment. How dare you interrupt?
I'm sorry. The mustache.
Incredibly brave moment.
No, you gotta get pull up the Tom. Pull up the guy with the Tom Selleck.
Where? All right, tell me when to stop.
Keep going back.
This guy here.
That guy.
This is the guy.
That guy. That guy is awesome.
Yeah. I bet he has a name for his mustache.
Stashy.
Stashy.
Stosh. Stosh.
Or like my, Brian.
My
Brian. All right. So what is this all about? Well, there's a statement. We're not going to read all of it because it's long. But Z. Williams is an alumni of the Sturm College of Law, currently, formerly now.
One second. Hold on. Before you go on, here we go.
I am an alumni of the Sturm College of Law and currently a professor at the Graduate School of Social Work. Talking about why they is resigning. Those bombs are funded by U.S. tax dollars. This is bombs being dropped by Israel on Gaza. Funded by U.S. tax dollars, financed by U.S. institutions, and manufactured less than 100 miles away from Denver. I'd just like to say, she's not wrong. That's true. Also true of every war. And we've been dropping bombs all over the place. Remember Obama's unauthorized drone strikes?
Mm-hmm. The one where he killed America?
Were we having a moral crisis back then? I don't know. Methinks not. But who knows?
No, not at all. No, because it was Obama.
they were hoping change bombs.
You know?
They were hoping change bombs. Hope yes, we those bombs said yes, we can.
Yes.
despite this incredible human and moral crisis, the University of Denver has refused to honor even the simplest demands, students, faculties and alumni. I think that there should be an of in there. Disclose your investments and divest from genocide. Name that genocide is happening and condemn it. Now, naming the genocide and condemning it, that's just speech. So that probably is a simple demand. It's not a morally simple demand, certainly for the administration of DU that also has to think about its Jewish students. But that's a simple demand in terms of execution. It's speech. Divesting, as we talked about last week, divesting from Israel is not a simple undertaking for any of these universities. And I'm not saying it can't be done.
What's my question? What do they get? What exactly are they getting from Israel?
Well, you have so it's unclear what lengths they're going to, again, they here is saying that it is a simple demand, the simplest of demands, right? Mm-hmm. Well, are we divesting from all Israeli companies, anything supporting the Israeli government, but also the U.S. government is fully funding the Israeli government. And so there's that aspect of it. What does divest really mean? And when you break it down into what would that actually mean for a university? You're cutting off multiple avenues of funding. You're talking about different partnerships and collaborations and businesses that will no longer be involved. It's not a simple demand. I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm not saying right or wrong, whatever. I personally think it's an outsized ask to ask all U.S. universities to divest from everything Israeli. And I haven't seen from the Free Palestine movement what that looks like. Has anyone thought through the second and third order consequences and second and third order steps you have to take to be able to carry out that demand? My point in this is divesting is not a simple demand.
Right.
This
It seems that way because I when I keep hearing this word divest, I'm like, what does that even look like?
Well, yeah, it means get rid of any financial business or other association. Don't take their money. Don't take their inventions, their business products, services, all of that kind of stuff. Considering that every government in the world is using Israeli's Pegasus software, that's I'm thinking a non-starter for all the governments because they really love their surveillance tech. And so my only point, I'm not making a moral judgment on Dave's statement here. I'm simply saying I don't believe that divesting is a simple demand. I think it's a very complicated task.
It doesn't seem that easy.
All right. So you're going to love this part. There is an active scholasticide in Palestine.
A what?
A scholasticide, the intentional destruction of educational institutions. There is also an epistemicide. An epistemicide, the systematic obliteration of entire pillars of knowledge.
Hold on, Ash. One of these words at a time. This is just too much. Okay. First word is what?
Scholasticide.
And that's the what?
The intentional destruction of educational institutions.
Okay. Then the next word would be?
Epistemicide.
All right, that's where you lost. All right.
The systematic obliteration of entire pillars of knowledge. You know, like traditional American Revolution history or what else? What other history have they rewritten, Darren?
The fact that there's only two genders.
Biology.
Biology.
There is an epistemicide of biological knowledge in the United States of America.
That's a fact.
Boom. That's a fact. All right. Palestinian scholar and poet Rafat Al-Larir said, quote, "The tragedy that has befallen the academic, scholarly, and intellectual community in Gaza and in Palestine is unprecedented. Israel is destroying the foundations of society in the Gaza Strip." It is pertinent to note that Rafat Al-Larir was murdered in a precision airstrike on his house. And so we get down here. Despite the tremendous resources of the university, it fundamentally depends on the labor of adjunct faculty such as myself. We are underpaid, overworked, and we tirelessly go above and beyond for our students. They go on to say they have experienced firsthand increasing surveillance, repression, intimidation, and pressure from campus security and the administration to abandon the Palestinian freedom struggle. This not only exploits us at workers, it chills our right to speak. My university is the world, and the University of Denver has become its enemy.
Okay. Give it up for Rufio, everybody.
If I must die, let it bring hope. Let it be a tale. I don't think anybody is.
Ain't nobody trying to harm this. drama.
And also, like, overpaid and underworked.
How many have been
at every protest?
How many medications do you think this person is on?
I wouldn't even speculate. All right, moving on. This is the one question that I have. They also posted. Hang on a sec. Hold for processing. Let me open this in a different link. This is the question I have, and I don't believe that there's been an answer. Yeah, I haven't gotten an answer yet. But back in May. No, whoops. Yeah, here we go. Share. Back in May, Z. Williams posted, "Just accepted a spot in a PhD program. Feels a little weird to earn a doctorate at the end of the world. But hey, here we go." So that was May 20th of this year. And as we just discussed, they have resigned. So the question that I have is, does the resignation impact the PhD program? It's not clear if the PhD that they accepted was at DU or a different university. But if it is at DU, will they still be participating and getting their PhD while they are disparaging the university and have resigned, and all of the, you know, my university is the world and DU has become its enemy. I will keep everybody posted on whether or not I get a response to my question, because that was my question. All right, enough of that. Let's move on. Jinx.
There's the hook.
That's so good. All right, so let's talk about movies. We have, feels like we're watching one, doesn't it? All right. So out of Colorado Free Press, Colorado moves to buy the Stanley Hotel and make more movies. We have, so first of all, we have the Colorado Office of Film, Television, and Media, or COFTMA.
Where's that office located?
I'm certain it's in Denver. The Colorado Office of Film, Television, and Media. Oh, that is really small. Let's see if I can make that bigger so people can actually read it. There we go. Colorado Office of Film, Television, and Media, COFTMA, attracts and facilitates content creation in the state to generate economic growth. It promotes the state's film and television industry locally and nationally and internationally while highlighting Colorado's unique rural areas. Colorado film incentives have generated $111.6 million in economic impact to 55 counties in Colorado and created over 3,700 cast and crew positions since its inception. That's the description of the office.
And the inception is when?
That's a good question. They don't say. I don't know how long it's been around. It is a part of the Office of Economic Development and International Trade, which the acronym for that. The acronym for that is co-edit,
okay, which is way makes more sense.
Yeah, it's way easier to say than COFTMA. All right, let's go to the Denver Gazette article here. For real, see what they did there. Triple good news.
That was crafty. You gotta let that one breathe. Mm-hmm. That was crafty.
For real.
He's on fire.
All right.
out of the Denver Gazette, triple good news for the Colorado film industry. Don't they all look happy? Up at the Stanley Hotel. Hotel, of course, is where the hotel that inspired the film The Shining. And they want to buy it. The state wants to buy it.
The guy with the blue polo and the blazer. That dude don't.
Oh, that's Polis.
Yeah, I know.
And it's our governor. Doesn't he look competent?
He looks a lot fatter.
There in the middle is Leslie Herod. And that is her, I believe, Estes Park, where the Stanley Hotel is her district. She's very excited. We got some quotes from her in here. She's very excited about it. But you will remember her from the legislative session.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And virtue signaling with her keffiyeh. All right.
All these people are it's like half the population is Palestinian.
Well, they identify that way.
They identify as
Palestinian allies.
I'm trans ethnicity. I'm trans ethnic.
free Palestine. What was the ones? Yeah, the when we Palestine, went through that playbook Palestine, of chants last
Palestine.
Week.
Palestine.
Palestine. On Tuesday, Governor Jared Polis signed two pieces of legislation that are expected to make Colorado more competitive in the film industry. The first guarantees $5 million in annual film incentives to the COFTMA through at least 2029. Colorado Film Commissioner Donald Zuckerman said his office received a one-time $5 million rebate from the general fund for the 23-24 fiscal year, but Polis's action Tuesday creates a tax credit that will come out of Tabor refund money every calendar year through 2029. You would think that would have to be approved, that us deciding to fund $5 million a year to a film industry should be approved by the voters, but nah. Quote, we never had money allocated to us more than a year at a time, Zuckerman said. Just think about it for a second. Let's say you're a TV production company and you're looking for a place to set up a TV series. Now, nobody goes anywhere without film incentives. They just don't. But if you come to Colorado, what happens if your show gets picked up for a second or third year? You might not get any money for the second year from the government. This bill that the governor has signed gives us an opportunity to attract companies that are looking for something more permanent because it guarantees incentives for more than 1 year. So the prioritization question, I think it's great. I think we have an absolutely stunningly beautiful state and we could do a lot of great scene work and film a lot of great movies here. We got loads of different, just all around the
mountains,
state.
Places. Yeah, you got all kind of different.
Yeah, we have mountains, we have rivers, we have great, institutions like the Stanley Hotel or Red Rocks, right? Places, up in Summit County, there's incredible places to film stuff. We also have an explosive homeless crisis, an explosive migrant crisis.
You have an explosive, you have what? All right, go one by one.
We have an explosive homeless crisis. Okay. We have an explosive migrant crisis.
Okay.
We just defunded police $89.9 million in the city of Denver, which will cause exploding crime. So let's make movies. It's insanity, the priorities of this government. One person who was very happy about Tuesday's bill signing at the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park was state rep and co-sponsor Leslie Herod, who has seen just about enough of the Georgia peach at the end of so many films and TV shows. Thank you very much.
No, this hold was, on. Here's my question.
That was the asked, writer. That was the writer asked, of the article.
Yes, it was. That nobody really asked back and asked themselves, like, why are we in the situation that we're in? I'm starting to be like, you can't, I'm sorry, Ash, but I can't believe that these people are really this nuts.
Well, I believe that we are in the position that we are in because of climate change and years of inequitable policies. And so we need to fund the movie industry. And we definitely need to make sure that $5 million a year goes to equitable projects.
What the hell? This, never mind.
I know, buddy. Hang in there. Quote, the reason I am so passionate about film incentives and supporting our creative industries across the board is because I believe it's important that Coloradans tell Colorado stories, Harold told the Denver Gazette. I see movies and TV shows all the time and they say they're in Colorado. And then it doesn't really look like Colorado to me. And then I see a Georgia peach at the end and we don't actually get any benefit from that.
There's a reason for that. Like, until you fix the problems, The Walking Dead is not going to be filmed in Colorado.
Well, right. Sorry. Yeah. Like, although you want to tell a dystopian story, Denver is a great set. You would have to do very little work to make that.
Oh yeah.
To easy, make that easy. Set come to life.
Tom Hanks in Castaway 2, Landlocked.
That's good. That's good. I like it. We should tell Leslie Herod, see if she can get us. See, let's get that project greenlit and fast tracked. Tom Hanks in Castaway 2, Landlocked. I love it.
Migrant Mission Impossible
3. Migrant Mission All right. To put the state's welcome $5 million annual commitment into perspective, consider what our neighboring states spend on annual film incentives. New Mexico spends $110 million, Utah $12 million, and the next year rapidly rising Arizona will spend $125 million. Zuckerman said, we're never going to be New Mexico. He added, but $5 million gets us into the game.
Hey, hold on. Somebody in our chat said the government is gay.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't even think that's not an epithet or a slur.
No, it's just funny. Yeah. It's just funny. I just, the first thing I saw, I pulled it up and I just, the government is gay.
That is so gorgeous. That hotel. Somebody is give so us gorgeous. $1. All right. So additionally, we have SECFA.
Frantic Missy is in the house.
What up, Frantic Missy? We have the Colorado Education and Cultural Facilities Authority, a state agency that has issued $7.6 billion in tax-free bonds for cultural and educational organizations since 1981. $7.6 billion. Where does all this money come from?
You.
I guess. You?
Yeah, all of y'all. All of y'all that have not. Oh. Hold on.
Money is coming from all of you that have not escaped the Colorado.
This part of the story is really interesting because this is the institution that is attempting to purchase the Stanley Hotel that inspired The Shining. So we're going to have it state owned.
What's the ticket on this hotel?
Oh, that's good. Let's see. It doesn't say. Let me see if we click on here, maybe. Maybe it'll give us oh, look how pretty. It is really beautiful hotel. We have the most amazing
It's not a migrant shelter yet?
That's probably why the state's going to purchase it. I bet. Oh, okay. And then it'll be a reality show, see?
Right.
So you put all these incentives together, solve the migrant process by putting them all up in the Stanley Hotel, and then film it. Recoup those five. See, they should hire me as a freaking consultant for what was it? Koftima. I should run that shit. You're right. Put all the migrants in it, cameras, reality TV show.
Yeah.
Solving multiple crises at once.
That right there, we call it.
We need ideas, guys. There's no bad ideas. Keep it going. Keep it going. All right.
We need a whiteboard.
We're just gonna blue sky this thing. All right, let's go back.
The migrant weird world.
Yeah. All right. So we're buying the hotel, and then the third piece. Last week, the Sundance Institute wrapped up its prestigious annual Director's Lab at the Stanley Hotel in the surrounding area. It was the first time in its 40 years that the showcase event has been held outside of Utah. It went so well, Zuckerman said, that Sundance has already committed to bringing it back to Estes Park for 2025 and perhaps beyond. That's actually pretty cool.
This is the true story of seven migrants picked to live in a hotel and have their lives taped to find out what happens when people stop being polite and start being real.
Yeah, that's good. So there is, you wouldn't have seen this because you are smart and live in Florida, but there's this commercial. Oh, I got, you know what? I gotta find it. I gotta.
I'm actually
because
not that smart.
I have, I have a dream.
I'm just lucky.
I have a dream that somebody with solid video editing skills will take the song from this this advertisement and overlay it with actual pictures of the people in Denver.
Oh, okay.
But it'll make sense in a second. Hang on. Is it ad commercial? Is it this one?
No, that's not it.
Damn it. You tell me I can't find this. All right, let me try it a different way. Hold for processing, everybody. I promise it's going to be worth it.
We are patiently waiting.
Yeah. Here it is. I think.
She wasn't ready yet.
Yeah, got it. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I told you it's going to be worth it. All right. Go share this instead. All right. So the song, think about the song paired with all of the imagery that you've seen on the show over the past you know, several months of being on this show. This is it's a United commercial, but this is my, I have a dream that somebody will overlay the actual visuals of the people of Denver with this song.
You are the beautiful people of Denver, beautiful people of Denver, willowy ladies, billowy gowns, and you smell so nice. Beautiful people of Denver, beautiful people of Denver, whippity gentlemen, flippity talk, look at them scissor tail coats. Beautiful people of Denver, what
you say. All right, so you can see it, right? With yeah. all, like the Kwan interview, the pile of red vomit, like all
the, you know, honestly, I think we could pull that one off.
That's my dream.
I think that I could edit that.
I'll send you a link.
Yeah, send me the I could pull that one and send me every little clip that you want.
Yeah.
And I'll put it all together. Hey, we'll put that in the commercial reel. You know? Yeah.
I think that would be good. All right, so the movie industry coming in hot. We're going to try and compete with Georgia. I think you could definitely do a season of The Walking Dead in Denver, and your production costs would be low because it already looks like it's going through a zombie apocalypse. All right, so let's move on to why are people... Actually, before we move on... Let's hear from our awesome sponsors of this show.
And we got to pay the bills.
We got to pay the bills. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Well, it's another day, another breaking news story buried. They'd rather talk about anything else than what's really going on. And it's not because they don't know what's happening. The media pundits and talking heads just don't want you paying attention. The real stories, you have to look beyond the headlines for those. We do that at CDM. You know the truth is being covered up. Prepare for what will come with My Patriot Supply. Since 2008, My Patriot Supply has helped millions of Americans get ready for the worst. Today, their best-selling three-month emergency food kits are flying off the shelves. I've seen it. Get yours right now at my website, preparewithcdm.com. This food kit offers over 2,000 calories every day, plus ultra-durable four-layer packaging. It lasts up to 25 years in storage. Order all the kits you need right now for $200 off each, free shipping included. You've been warned about what can happen. Don't live in fear. Take back of your future, because this isn't just food, it's freedom. Stock up on these food kits at preparewithcdm.com. Preparewithcdm.com.
Contagion kit is something new. Can you tell us about that and what's in it and what it's for?
Well, the contagion kit is specifically geared towards a respiratory virus. It mm-hmm. includes some of the medications that we've been talking about that are well known to be able to treat respiratory viruses. And mm-hmm. importantly, it includes a nebulizer, a mm-hmm. way to aerosolize a liquid medication so that you can breathe it into the lungs. Mm-hmm. Again, these kits are not meant to replace your doctor or a relationship with a doctor. They are not meant for you to fly solo. We have telemedicine visits mm-hmm. available if you have any questions about the symptoms you're having. There is a booklet in there as well that supports and kind of coaches you through what symptoms you may be having from something. So these aren't meant to be a panacea to replace mm-hmm. everything in medicine. It's a way, however, for people to feel and to be prepared, to be at the ready, to be more resilient, and to be more immune from the sorts of intrusions that we saw during COVID, where your insurance company or your own doctor or the pharmacist or the pharmacy was refusing to let people get a hold of medication.
If you haven't noticed, gold has reached a new high, all-time highs, actually. And keeps going up every day. Why is that? It's because precious metals are a long-time historical store of value. And if you own a portfolio and you have assets in the fiat currencies, i.e. stocks, bonds, cash, or whatever, you're vulnerable to hyperinflation, which is coming as our debt explodes another trillion every 90 days. It's really scary. So how do you protect yourself? Go to Advisor Metals. If you look on any of our CDM.press sites, about halfway down, there's an ad for Advisor Metals. Click on it, fill out the form for your contact info, and Igor Bashatsky will contact you and talk to you. It's an easy conversation. There's no sales pitch. He's completely verified by us. He has a regulatory background we've checked into. We've checked with his bankers. We've checked with his IRA custodians for metals. And we can highly recommend Advisor Metals and ERA. So go to Advisor Metals. If you call them directly, tell them we sent you at CDM, and he'll definitely take care of you. But protect your portfolio, because you really need to. It's coming. Thank you.
Yep. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. And just for a special treat, here we go. Time for snakes.
Definitely watching that movie today. All right.
Hey, so somebody in the chat said Rufio.
Yeah. You missed the top of the show. First story. Classic. All right. So people are fleeing Colorado. It's a fact. Everybody says so, including Pods, who just, well, they're going lots of places. But what's interesting is that in 2023, Denver was 18th in terms of the areas that people in the nation are fleeing. This is according to Pods, the moving company. They're providing this study of, you know, where are people, I assume, where are people buying their, you know, taking their pods from and to? Mm-hmm. Where do they book them? Where do they deliver them? So they were 18th Denver in 2023, now at 12th. It's jumping six spots in a year on the list. People are fleeing. So if we go to this study from Pods, we'll just read a little bit of this.
It's like California and U-Haul.
Yeah, well, let's see. Where's the Colorado? Where's the list? We're seeing more people move to the Southern Appalachian region, which includes states like North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia, and Alabama. People are also continuing to move to select Florida cities, a longstanding retirement favorites such as Boise, Portland, and Phoenix. I wonder what Florida cities. Latest data shows that Americans are still seeking out new homes in sunny southern states, but they are unpacking, where they are unpacking is starting to shift. This year's Pods long distance moving data results that movers are swapping out previously hot move to markets like Florida and Texas for spots like Tennessee, the Carolinas, and Georgia. More than 60% of the most moved to cities were in these three southern states, with the Carolinas accounting for a whopping 30% of the top 20 cities with the most move-ins. Last year, Florida claimed half of the top 10 spots on the list. This year, that stat goes to the rising dynamic duo, North Carolina and South Carolina. We see Greenville-Spartanburg, South Carolina, climbing six spots to come in number four on the list, while North Carolina's Charlotte, Raleigh, and Asheville made equally notable gains into the top 10 after ranking below 15th in 2023. Myrtle Beach holds on to its crown as the number one most moved to city for the second year in a row. Shout out to Frantic Missy, who is from South Carolina. You're winning, girl. I want to know what Florida cities we're talking about. All right.
Give it up for Frantic Missy.
Give it up for Frantic Missy. All right. These are the cities. So you've still got a few. Notably, nobody's moving to Colorado. We don't make any of the lists. We're not. There's no Colorado cities. But let's see. Where's the move out list? Do we have a move out list? Tell me you gave us a move out list. Here we go. Yeah, is this it? Yeah. All right. So here we got Denver. I'm wondering if we got multiple Colorado cities. That would be cool. No, just Denver, but still. So we made the list as the 12th place that people are fleeing. First is Los Angeles, and we've got the San Francisco area. Miami is third. People leave in Miami. I'm sure you're not upset about that.
No. Get the hell up out of here.
Could that account for the fact that Ron DeSantis has made it unlivable for migrants? And so they're probably coming here.
Yeah, probably. I would say so. You know, it's kind of, if you ask me, people are getting priced up out of South Florida. And I think call me crazy, just a conspiracy. You know what I'm saying? Just a conspiracy theorist, you know. I honestly think that's our design. I think he wants Florida to be like, okay, well, if you can't cut it financially at this bracket, you ain't coming.
So this is interesting. So if you look at these are all pretty much traditionally blue areas. So we've got LA, San Francisco.
Miami's kind of purple.
Yeah, know? For sure. It's for sure Miami is changing. You guys flipped your school board red, mm-hmm. which is just turns out, you know, people don't want their kids sexualized. Who knew?
Shocking, right? You know,
Long Island is kind of half blue, half red. You've got Suffolk County, which is more red. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got the suburb where people commute into the city. You know, you've got Westchester in that respect as well. But then you've got, you know, like part of Queens and
which one's closer to Queens? Is that Nassau County?
Nassau County's more blue.
Like Hempstead and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. So people are leaving. Number four on the list, people leaving Long Island, Austin. Now, people were flocking to Austin in droves out mm-hmm. of California. We saw Joe Rogan go. We saw Elon Musk go.
I hate it.
And yeah, it's like, wait a second. This is like Boulder, but in Texas.
Greg Abbott said, like, Austin is like that blueberry in a sea full of strawberries.
Yeah, and we got Jersey, Chicago, San Diego, Stockton, Hudson Valley, New York, Santa Barbara, California, Denver. Shout out to Denver for being uninhabitable. Boston, Baltimore. These are all blue run cities. And if we look at where they're going to...
Drop that in the chat.
Yeah,
I'll read that later.
I got you. What's interesting? I think Houston makes both lists.
Houston is basura.
Fifth for people moving in. And I saw Houston.
But I don't know why they say Houston. Like people are going
to
live
Houston on here. I messed up. It wasn't on there.
People are going to like. People aren't moving it and moving to Houston. Moving like Katy. Outside of Houston, you know what I mean?
Yeah, probably. So you've got still some, you know, somewhat blue air. I mean, Asheville is North Carolina's Boulder.
Mm-hmm.
And
I thought that would be more like Raleigh-Durham.
No, Asheville is absolutely stunningly beautiful place to visit. Really cool shops, good food, very, you know, kind of pedestrian friendly community, mm-hmm. and you know, surrounded by beautiful mountains, but very, very politically left, and people are going. I don't blame them. I would move to Black Mountain tomorrow. It's so beautiful.
Well, people are still, you know, it's very, very left, but people will still go to jail. They're still arrest criminal.
Yeah,
you
can't get away with theft there.
Yeah. It's kind of like Nashville. You know what I mean? Nashville is pretty, you know, pretty progressive, but you can still get your ass arrested.
Exactly. Like,
Denver. I guess the blue thing is fine as long as criminals get punished. Like when you stop arresting people for crimes, that's when it becomes a problem. You know what I mean?
Because it's not safe anymore.
Sort of lawlessness, yeah. You know, you can be as progressive as you want. Paint your little rainbows on the street. Go ahead.
Did you see those kids? Those kids got arrested, and the so Lime Scooters.
Like Oregon, Oregon, right?
I don't remember where it was, but I know that it was Lime Scooters they were riding, and they did, you know, donuts and made skid marks on the rainbow flag. And the people that were online screeching about this were calling it vandalism. How can you vandalize the street?
Wow.
It's incredible. Anyway, those kids, I believe, got arrested, but Lime has now made a no-go zone around the rainbow flag on the street so their scooters will stop before you go in there.
Kids arrested in jail for leaving scooters. He said, well, he's 19. He's not a kid. A 19-year-old and...
As a kid. I mean, he's not technically, according to the law, a kid, but he still can't drink, can't buy a firearm in Colorado.
Somebody said, good Lord, the horror.
Yeah. Yeah, but here's the thing. Here's why I think this is important with the Lime scooter thing. This is where we're going with electric cars. Because what they've done, like, they don't want their scooters used in vandalizing the street flag. Right. So they've created a digital perimeter around the street flag, and the scooters can't go there. And if you, as the operator, the controller of the scooter, try to go into the flag, it's going to stop. What happens when you're driving and, you know, the regime says you can't be driving. You don't have enough equity points.
I just saw Thomas Massey. On Tucker. Talking about that.
So don't tell me it can't happen, because we just watched it happen with the scooters, and the scooters are just small versions of electric cars. Digitally controlled remotely. All right. Our final story of the day, we're going to talk about the race to be Ash's congressperson.
Woo-hoo!
The race to be Ash's Congress day. It is a crazy, unthinkable proposition that CD4 would be anything other than red, and I don't think it will be. But one thing that's very interesting is that there's some polling out that shows it closer than it's been in a very long time. Now, I think that that's probably because Lauren Boebert is the leading candidate. It's a hard sell to switch districts because you feel entitled to a seat. That's a hard sell for me. We do have some video clips on the latest.
I did see somebody say they weren't enthused about any of them under your post.
Yeah, it's the work. You know, I have to pick the, the race to the bottom choices, because the people that want these jobs should not have them.
When are you gonna run for public office?
Yeah, I don't know,
man. You can do it.
So I would run for office if the constituency demanded it, knowing that I would go into office with the sole intention of dismantling significant portions of the government.
Right.
Getting the government out of our lives, not creating whole new classes of laws, which is what all of them seem to think that we need at a time when we have way too much law. All right. So before we get to the proper CD4 race, we do have a special election coming up on June 25th. So when you vote in the primary for CD4, you will also be voting in the special election for who's going to fill Ken Buck's seat again, you know, for the rest of his term. So who's going to be in this role until they're sworn in early January. Greg Lopez is the front runner for the Republican Party. Hannah Goodman is the front runner for the Libertarian Party. I think she's got a better shot than any other Libertarian in history. The one thing, Greg Lopez is all right. He's got strong positions going for him. He's run for governor a bunch of times and has not been elected. But he's not running for the seat proper in November. So he's there to fill the spot and finish the job, between now and January. And I think that's fine. I also really like Hannah Goodman. I think that she's got some great policy positions, and I think
she's got a shot.
Yeah. She's part of I would call her part of the non insane libertarians. We've got definitely two kinds. So, but we've got here Lauren Boebert endorsing Greg Lopez.
Hey everyone, Lauren Boebert here with a quick voter PSA before I hit the road and head to Kit Carson County. I have received my ballot as they were mailed out this week, and you should be receiving yours as well. And I wanted to show you on the inside of each ballot is this reminder for Congressional District 4 Vacancy Committee. Now, the special election section is at the bottom of every ballot, no matter what county you are in. And our guy, Greg Lopez, the Republican nominee, is number 3 in that section. So I need you to fill in that bubble because I need reinforcements in Washington.
All right, that's enough of that.
She looks like every girl that I meet down here in Miami that is on vacation from Denver.
Maybe she can come be your congresswoman.
No, that ain't gonna happen. I don't see that in our future.
Yeah, I just the entitlement. The entitlement is so we have some clips from debates. So now we'll move on to the proper CD4 election. Primary is happening June 25th, and of course November 5th we'll vote. We've got a couple. So this one's I can't tell which one's my favorite, but I do like this. This is from CBS News Colorado in the debate. They were all asked about climate. Now, this video was posted by Chase Woodruff, who writes for Newsline, Colorado Newsline, which is a progressive, you know, self-avowed progressive paper. And they are overwhelmingly focused on climate. Like, you know how people say that climate change has become a religion for people?
According to Biden, it's an existential threat.
Obviously. But yeah. It's definitely a religion at Colorado Newsline. Anyway, Chase Woodruff puts up this post saying none of the CD4 candidates believe that man-made climate change is real. This is kind of a funny clip.
A quick yes or no on this. Is climate change real and is it caused by humans?
Climate change occurs 4 times every year.
Yes, climate does change.
And humans... are causing it?
So there is a contribution through industry, but there's a larger contribution through environmental factors that we do not control.
Yes, it is real, and humans have very little impact on it, changing it one way or the other.
There is a history of climate change throughout the history of the Earth, but it is driven more predominantly by factors outside human exports or what we produce.
Indeed, we've had climate change since the Ice Age. We've had climate change our entire earthly history. And quite frankly, we have right now the cleanest water and cleanest air that we've ever had.
As everyone has said, climate change is something that's been happening for the 4.5 billion years of our history.
All right. So,
I mean, they don't want to just flat out say that it's some bullshit.
No, you can't. Oh my god, it's a religion, dude. You can't do that. You can't say it.
But deep down inside, I know what they want to say. They're just like, we gotta dance around this.
Yeah. So this gets a little dirty. This is a different debate. Gets a little dirty in the face off between Richard Holtorf and Lauren Boebert. So check this out.
Torf, you get a question to another candidate.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity, and I will take this time to ask a question. In my 5 years in the state house, I passed 38 bills signed by the governor in a majority Democrat house and general assembly. I know what it means for a bill to be passed and signed by governor or president. So for Ms. Boebert, how many bills did you prime sponsor? I said 38, I prime sponsored, not co-sponsor, because you can co-sponsor post facto. Anybody can put their name on a bill after it passes. How many bills did you prime sponsor in the U.S. Congress that actually were signed by the President of the United States?
So thank you so much, Richard. You know, it's interesting that you're touting the legislation that you have passed. You also say that you are a no-nonsense conservative. Well, I think the voters back home should know that a no-nonsense conservative should not have a failing Liberty score. We have the Independent Institute who scores for their legislative record.
Just wait for it, though. This doesn't go well for her.
How you campaign, well, then you get a negative impact. And I'm the only person.
Would you like to answer the question, or would you like to talk about Liberty? That's a very specific question. Please answer.
One of my favorite pieces of legislation that has been signed into law is my Pueblo Jobs Act that creates at least 1,000 jobs in Pueblo, Colorado.
Why is that a federal
bill? To incorporate the BRAC process. So nearly $7 billion.
and infrastructure would not be bulldozed and go to waste. But there are also many other pieces of legislation that I've passed through the House. And
it doesn't
also,
matter if it's passed through the House. If the president doesn't sign it, ma'am,
government, and I'm not
then
going to compromise my principles
passed.
To
that's,
just pass
that's
a
time.
Bill
that's time.
That
Thank
does
you very
not
much.
Honor.
I would give you one more opportunity if you would like to answer his question, which is the number of bills you've prime sponsored that have been signed by the president.
So my Pueblo Jobs Act has been signed into law.
A number, please.
That is one.
Got it.
Damn. Oh, yikes. Hold on. You know what? Hold on. I got to go ahead and give Lauren one of these.
Yeah. So I think Democrats have a better shot in CD4 than they've ever had. So that's concerning, but is what it is. Everybody make sure you vote on June 25th. And like, I live in CD4. I talk to voters all the time in CD4. Nobody's thrilled about the slate of candidates that we have. And yeah, I mean, you know, Republicans can cheerlead all they want. I'm not a Republican. And, I wish we had better choices. That's all I'll say about that.
Yeah, I could see how you guys would why y'all would think that. I mean, what do you think our chances are?
Why is getting new laws passed?
Like a
whole
thing.
New
yeah.
set. Why is that something you're proud of? I got 38 new laws passed. What?
Right, that were so signed by that was signed
through
by
your
Jared.
Name. Yeah, like, well, it was signed by Jared.
Signed by
his whole
yeah.
in the state legislature. Yeah, so yeah, I mean, we have to redefine the metrics of success for the congressperson job. It should not be how many new laws have you created to subjugate your constituents. That should not be the metric of success. But with
well,
that,
it's like a fraternity. You know what I'm saying? It's like a fraternity and a sorority. And it's a fraternity. Yeah.
A fraternity.
Fraternity.
A sorority. Yeah. Anyway.
Fraternity. It's a fraternity.
Before we head out of here, let's talk for a second about epicminerals.net. Big fan.
Oh, snap. Hold on. We got hey, shout out to Epic Minerals. You know, I am so intrigued by my by what they said, you know.
EpicMinerals.net has incredible products available to you, all natural and American-made products. We have the Zeolite Extra Detox Spray. I take this every day. It doesn't really taste like anything. It has a little bit of an earthy aftertaste, but just quickly, it binds heavy metals and you pee them out of your body. It's great stuff. You can get the Zeolite Extra Spray. You can get Sweet Orange, the vitamin C collection, creamy body butter, which is fast becoming my favorite product, is this creamy body butter. It starts out like a cream and it turns into oil and just incredibly hydrating, really, really great stuff. We've got the artisan soaps and we have so many more products coming at Epic Minerals. So head over to epicminerals.net, use promo code ASH, and you will support Darren and me and this show. And you'll also get yourself some great products with that.
Keep you from being,
we're done.
To keep y'all from being ashy out here like Larry. Okay.
Don't want
to
be ashy like Ash.
What
was he said? It was that Zeke post, ashy knees. Oh, and I can't say the other word on the air. the other part. Okay, but moving on. We're just gonna let that one go. I forgot the other part of that statement.
Oh my goodness.
All right, everybody, we do this show every Sunday at 2 p.m. Mountain Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, and we will be back here to see you guys next week. We're going to be spotlighting the congressional races and other key races in Colorado more as we get closer to the election, so be sure to tune in for the non-party position on what's happening in Colorado politics. Anything else, Darren?
Nah, I'm cool.
Sweet.
I'm cool.
All right, everybody. Have an absolutely awesome, phenomenal week, and we'll see you next week.
Peace.